Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara on Zion Amud Beis. We are four lines from the bottom. Again, we're in the middle of the drasha. The Gemara asked, we had a drasha from Rabbi Yishmael. Mishmal told us that on the night of the 14th, your boat can lor haner, and we had a zeichah davar because we said shiva semen loy matze, and then we said veyichapes bagadol heichela vekodin kala, and then we also had veomer beisayich posir shalaim. So then it says I'm going to look at yushalaim baneros with candles, and then we had another pasuk to tell you of ner Hashem. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam Cholvetz Kol Chadrei Bata, and a person's soul is the candle of Hashem, which is, searches his whole innards. So the Gemara now asks, why do I need two psukim to teach me the same thing? Maya Omer, what's the purpose of the Brisa telling you that you need a second pasuk telling me of that you, a person's soul is the candle of Hashem? That whole pasuk of Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, when I already had the pasuk telling me that Hashem is going to be searching for Yerushalayim Beneros with candles. It clearly says that candles in the context of searching, so we know you should be using a candle to search for something. So the Gemara says, V'chi te mahai ba'yisai kulahu. So now I could have said the following. I would have thought that when Hashem is searching out the candles, again, he's looking for all the people who are doing averas in order to punish them. So I would have thought that Hashem is being makel on us. He's even having a little, he's having rachmanos. The Kamar rachmana, lo bad kidin la bishlam benurda vukur enap vishnur. Because I would have thought, what's Hashem saying? He's saying, I'm not going to check all of the averas like someone who checks with a torch, which is going to be really searching. If you have any little avera, I'm going to punish you. Rather, ela benurda deshraga dezutur nar tvei, that I would have thought I'm going to only search with the candle as less light. And therefore, as someone who's an avarian, someone who does averos, I'm not going to really, if he does small averos, I'm not going to be medaktik and punish him. Only the big averos am I punishing right now. Again, so that you're going to be founding only if you find big averos, then you're going to punish him. If not, I'm not going to be searching for him, I'm not going to be punishing him. So therefore, what would we learn? That really, a nair is not a most effective search. The pasuk over there was telling us that Hashem is dafka using, having a bit rachmanos on us and searching with something that's not as effective. So therefore, the Gemara says we need the second pasuk. Tashma ner Hashem nishmas Adam. The second pasuk is telling you, which is telling us that how do I know it's a good bedika? Rashi says the end of the pasuk tells you chofes kol chatrei beten. That the pasuk is telling you a person is searching all the chambers of your inside. It's searching very well. It's searching very well. It's teaching that when it comes to a ner, that is a very effective way of searching. The Gemara continues quoting the Brisa Tanur Rabbanan in Bokin Lola or Achama Vilo or Lavana. You should not do batikas chametz by the night, the light of the sun or the light of the moon, rather, or the light of the torch, ella or aner dafka, the light of a candle. Turning on to the next. Now, manam nevnei shor aner yafel batika, because this type of candle is good for searching. Va'alfa bishen ra'el izach the davar zecha davar, as we saw before. Even though there's no proof, there's a nice remise to an allusion in the psukim. Shenemar shivas yamim seor leimatzid batechem ve'omer vaychapes bagadol heichel. The pasuk says your search should not be found, and then had said chipus in the context of finding. Over there also, he was searching with the oldest. And again, I'm looking at shalim with candles. It says a person's soul, Hashem is the inner chamber is searching all the chambers of one side with the person's with the soul is the candle of Hashem, which is searching the chambers of one's inside. Now, just a beautiful remez I saw, nice line from the Gon Mechibin. He gives the Ramah says that we put out the pieces of challah, right? The 10 pieces of challah we put out. And that's the Shiloh. The Ravid was against this. He was bothered by, why are we doing that? At the end of the day, you don't have to search for the chametz. You know where it is. You're searching for chametz. You don't know. There's no point of putting it out. So he saw a nice remez that maybe we could bring a remez from the pasuk with a whole source to use a nair and looking for chametz. We're quoting over here is vayomer vaychapes begadol dechel, that you're searching with the oldest. What was this talking about? This was talking about when Yosef was looking to set up Binyamin and see if the brothers were doing tshuva or not, and he found a dafka put it in the thing of Binyamin. So what happened is that in this case, that Menashe, we know, was the one who put it. He was the servant. Rashi tells us he was the one who put it in, and we know that they were the lashon of vechapes was looking for something they already knew was there, and you still use lashon of chipus that is searching. So too, when it comes to bdikas chametz, even though we know where that bread is, that's still called searching for the chametz. A nice remez for the minhag of the Ramah. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Hi or hachama, that when we talk about the light of the sun, hechidami, what is the case where we're applying this halacha that you're not allowed to do bedika with this or hachama, light of the sun? The Gemara says inim bechatzer, if we're talking about in a courtyard. So then that would be a problem. You don't even need a bedika whatsoever in a courtyard. Why not? Because ravens are there, and apparently they're going to be so common that it's for sure that they're going to be eating the chametz there. So Ella, the Gemara says, right, we're talking about in an area which Rashi describes here in Rashi Bava Basra. It's a type of structure which has a roof, but it doesn't have, which is meaning has columns supporting it, but it doesn't have any walls. So this type of area, Hamarava Achsar La'ora Nivdeka. No, there's no problem with searching this area with the light, with sunlight. We're not afraid over there to search it with a candle, because at the end of the day, it's valid. Enough sunlight is getting in. There's no corners or any nooks and crannies that you're going to miss. So there's no problem looking with the sunlight. The shaila in the Achronim is that Lefi Rashi says again, there's no problem doing it in the sunlight. So then, which day is he referring to? Is he referring to the day before on Yud Gimel, or maybe the next morning? Are you allowed to do this? That's a shaila. How? Because we do go with this Achasradra idea. Now the Gemara says so the Gemara answers Lo Tzricha La Aruba De Becheder. We see that regards to the skylight in a room. So the Gemara says the but which part of the room are we not allowed to search? If we're talking about the area beneath the skylight, so then why not? I know it should have the same exact halacha of an achasadra. The sunlight is booming in over the skylight, and it should be valid to do the bidik over the room. Says you're right. We're talking about the parts of the room that are on the side of the skylight. Since over there the sun does not shine directly onto those areas, one is not allowed to use those areas and rely on the little bit of sunlight that he has. So we see from here, though, that at the etim, sunlight is valid if it is a good enough spot. So that's the big shaila nowadays. When a person has lights on, so is it ideal to leave those lights on and then do the bedika with the candles? Really, everyone agrees. Let's say under your couch or under your bed, things like that, it's for sure dark. So you need to do the ora ner, or use the flashlight, or use the candle, whatever you're going to be using, whatever people hold as lechachil, whatever your rav says in that case. But lemaisa, do the lights have to be on or not? Is it lechachil for them to be on or be off in this case? So that's a big shaila in the Achronim, Adin over there. So Zalman and the Chazon Ish seem to say you don't have to turn off your lights. You don't have to they would assume, and most, I feel like a lot of people do, turn off all the lights in the house. It's always how I grew up, that they would turn off all the lights. According to them, no problem, you don't need to turn them off. However, Pinchas Scheinberg and others say, no, that you should have them off. That's the way we was at the Minug. And you search it with the candle because it'll be more bright, and you'll be able to focus more. But that's a big shaila though. In Din Achronim, everyone should ask the Rav what to do. Is Lamaisa, we see from here that if light is valid, everyone again, but this was only for the areas like on your table or areas that are open space. However, everyone agrees though, under your couch and areas that would be like similar to the case over here of by the Aruba that you can't see, that's not another Aruba. There everyone agrees you need the candle and you need the flashlight to look carefully underneath because it's dark there and you're not going to be able to see it. Okay, the Gemara now continues. The Gemara says, Vavuka lo, is it really true that a torch can't be used? Why is that case? Remember Rava, Maidechsiv, Vinoga, Baor, Tiek, Kornami, Adolo, Visham, Chevyon, Uzo. The Pasuk is telling us that the glow in the future for the tzaddikim is going to be like light of the days of the creation, the Maisa Rishis. The light is going to come to him, to the tzaddikim, but they're going to be hidden in strength. And the Gemara says, what is this talking about? Rava said, Lama tzaddikim domin bifnei ha-shechina. What is the righteous people in the presence of the Shechina? Kaner bifnei avuka, like a candle in the presence of a torch. And we see that really, what does that mean? That a torch has much more light than a candle. And also, the Gemara brings another proof. Rava avuka l'avdala mitzvah n'muvchar. Rava also says that avdala, we want to have the best way to have light, we should use dafka and avuka. That's what we do. We have dafka, a minimum of two wicks, right, to make an avuka. To that's the chachila. That's for sure what we hold by making avdala. So we see over there that an avuka is more powerful and better than a candle. So why does the Braisa say not only is an ala chachila, you're not even supposed to? The Braisa says you shouldn't be using dafka and avuka. I just want to point out also the nice chassidish idea on kaner bifnei avuka, like a candle in the presence of a torch. Lakuta Shoshana, the son of the Rebbe Melamach, Melazian's quotes over there could be from the Melamach. Remember exactly, he says that is a similar, why tzaddikim are called the Neber Fnei Avuka, because a candle in the presence of a torch will be memayed itself. It'll come to nothing. That's a tzaddik in this world. A tzaddik is mevatel himself to go back to his shoresh, which really is the Shechina. He's so close to the Shechina, that's how he wants to get back to himself. Either way, nice idea. But going back to the question at hand, the question was, at the end of the day, if you have a torch, which is clearly based on these two statements of Rava, a torch seems to be better for providing light. So why don't you use a torch? Why does the Braisa say it's Aser? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Ze yachol lachniso lechorin vilastakin, Ze ein yachol lachniso lechorin vilastakin. That at the end of the day, one of these is able to bring a candle. You can bring it to holes and cracks. However, a torch, you can't bring it to holes and cracks. What are you going to do? You're going to burn up the whole thing. It's not physically possible to get it. The second one is going to be that you're afraid of it. This answer seems to be that you just can't bring it into the holes and cracks. Rav Zvid says, when it comes to why is it better to use a candle? Because a candle, the light's in front of you. When it comes to a torch, really the ikar light is behind you. So it's not going to be so useful for him that there's a large amount of light behind you. You want to see in front of you, so that's better to use a candle. The torch is going to make someone afraid. You're afraid they're going to set
the house on fire. That's more you're gonna. It's not practical to use a massive torch. Imagine that nowadays. Chas v'shalom. There's enough problems as it is with all the Erev Pesach things. So clearly, we don't want to add to the problems by adding a torch. People are gonna set things on fire. It's not a good idea. Ravina Amar, Hay Mashaf Nohora V'Hay Miktaf Iktufa. The light of the candle is steady, as opposed to a light of a torch, which is Iktaf Iktufa. It's like flickering. Rashi describes it that it wavers, as opposed to the steady flame of a candle. It's not flickering, as opposed to the torch, which is flickering. Okay, now the Gemara goes back to analyze the part on the Mishnah, which said, "Kol makom she'in mafnisim kol chametz," you do not need to do a bedika over there. So Gemara says, "Kol makom la tuyemai." What is it coming to? Whenever we say kol, the Mishnah says the lashon of kol makom. It's always including other cases. What are these other cases? The Gemara says, "Latuya hay de tana rabbanu." We learn the rabbanu tana and b'risa chore bais halyon v'tachtonim. That the holes on the wall that are very high or very low, since these holes are not accessible, it can be assumed that no chometz was there. Rashi says v'gag hayetzia, or a roof of an annex, it's the type of thing that was attached to the house. That's what it seems to be. V'gag hamigdal, or roof of the roof of a migdal. The tower, so that type of thing. Again, Rashi describes it also as being something which is on a slant a little bit. Oh no, that was a previous thing Rashi described. Slant also over here is something, again, you didn't commonly put food in, because it's not comfortable. It's not a way that people would want to put food in these items. The refis bakar, or a cattle barn, the lulin, or a chicken coop. Or a storehouse of straw. All these places, again, you don't want to put chametz or storehouses of wine or storehouses of oil in tzrichim bedika. So all these areas is places we're assuming right now you don't put chametz in. So therefore, you wouldn't assume to put chametz. You don't have to do bedika over there. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, however, mita choleka betocha bais, if you have a bed which serves as a mechitza, you're having it to divide part of your house, umafsekes, and leaves a gap over there, tzrichim bedika. In that case, we would be afraid that people pass things around on both sides of the bed. It's possible that chametz was placed there for keeping over there. Therefore, we're afraid that there's chametz under the bed. You'd have to do bedika on that area. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Urmina, we have a stira. We can have a contradiction between this braisa and the following one we're about to bring. Chor shebein adam lechaveira. If you have a hole between his person and his friend, ze bodek ad makom shiadam agas. Each person, apparently, Rashi points out, is a very thick wall. And this wall, I have a little hole of it, and you have a little hole of it. So I put in as far as I can. You put as far as you can. Ze bodek ad makom shiadam agas. This one puts as far as he can. Vashar vatla belibo, and the rest of the chametz, the rest of the hole, each one can nullify it in his heart. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Mita cholekas b'soch habayis." The bed that's serving as a partition inside a house, the eitzim v'avanim sturim tachteh, under which you have wood over there, and you have stones over there, umafsekes, which leave a gap, in a tzricha bedika. So this does not require bedika. So we have a stira in both of the shitas, kasha, mita, mita. There's a stira in Rabbi Gamliel, and a stira in kasha, choren, choren. Again, Rabbi Gamliel, in the first brisa, Rabbi Gamliel, she says, you have to check the bed, and the second brisa, he's telling you don't need to check the bed. And the same thing with Rabbanon over here, and the Rabbanon, when it comes to the holes, their first brisa tells us that the holes, the wall, do not require bedika, whereas the second brisa is telling you have to search as far as yada magaz, as far as your hand can get. A stira in both the brisas on the Rebbe Shemuel Gamliel and the Rabbanon. Gemara says, "Chore na chore in lo kasha." When it comes to the two cases of the holes, that's not a question. Hi, but the brisa is telling you the first one's telling what the holes that are very high and very low, in which case, in those cases, you don't need to check it. However, Abim Tzir, in the brisa, the second case, telling me the holes are in the middle, and in that case, you would have to check it. So the Gemara now says, "Mita mita is also lokasha ha de midilai." The case of the brisa, the first one is dealing with the bed that is high up, which apparently is more convenient, and ha de bitatai, the second brisa is dealing with a case that is very low down. Apparently, if it's very low down, it's not something that people wanted to use. Rashi says it's not easily used, and therefore you do not need to check the mita. Okay, so now the Gemara continues. So the brisa told us that otzosyan ain't tzarich bedika, that a storehouse of wine does not require to do bedikas chametz, to search for chametz. So the Gemara is because assuming that you don't bring chametz into that area. The Gemara says, is that really true? Vatana, the Braisa tells us, Otsos Yain Tzorech Bedika. The storehouse of wine does require Bedikas Chametz. And Otsos Shemen Tzorech Bedika. This Braisa agreed, though, that oil does not require chametz. So again, the stira is with wine. Why does wine in the first Braisa tell you don't need a Bedika? And this second Braisa tells you it does. So the Gemara says, no, because the second Braisa telling you that it does need Bedika, Hachamayaskin is dealing with a case, Bemistapik, where someone uses the wine during the meal. He uses the wine cellar during the meal. He sends his servant down to the wine cellar to bring more wine, in which case sometimes the guy had a pita in his hand, or sometimes he had bread, whatever it might be, and we're afraid there's chametz there, so you have to check it. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, so then Iachi Shem and Nami. So then in this brace also, we're assuming he's sending his Eved down to do things for him, so maybe he sent him down to get more oil during the meal. So into the storehouse of the oil. So Gemara says, because no, Shem and Yesh Kevel Achil, everyone knows exactly how much oil they set an amount on the table beforehand, how much how much oil there is. So there's no question that you're not going to send the Eved to go get more oil. However, yain and kevelashtia, as we know, people can get out of hand and drink a lot of wine, and a lot of wine less than you anticipated. You put way less than you anticipated them drinking, and there's a lot more that you need now. So you'll send them down because people are drinking a lot more than you expected. So therefore, that does happen often enough, which we're saying, therefore, requires a bedika. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Tanir Rebchia, Asu Otsar Sheikhar Bibava. The rabbis talked about the storing the beer in Bavel, like storehouses and wine in Israel, but Mistapek, where someone uses these things during the meal. So we're obviously talking about over there that we're talking about that it was not beer which is made out of chametz, because then obviously you have to get rid of the whole thing. We're talking about the chametz that was made out of other things, used to make dates, used to have other things that we saw that they would make beer out of. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Amar Avchista, Bei Dagim Enchach Bedikha, that a place where you store your fish also does not require Bedikha, because you don't bring chametz there. Vatana, but wait a second, this is a kasha, because Sarach Bedikha, we quoted Brisa, which says it does require a Bedikha. The Gemara says, Lo Kasha. No, there's not a kasha in Avchista, because we're talking about Habar Avrebe, we're talking about Avchista's ruling, we're talking about large fish. Whereas the Brisa, which is telling you that does require a bedika, that is small fish. Apparently, Rashi says that you can estimate how many large fish will be required in a meal, but small fish, you're not sure exactly how many people are going to bring. You're afraid he's going to go down and go get the small fish. The Gemara continues now. Amar Rav Ravuna Bei Milcha VeKara Tzarech Bedika. That if you have a storehouse of salt and a storehouse of wax, apparently they would go down to get salt or wax to light more candles. Then they would go there during the meal. Therefore, you need Tzarech Bedika. It would require doing bedikas chametz to check that there might be chametz around Leil Yudalad. Amar Papa Beit Zivei Ubeit Mamre Tzarech Bedika. Also, stores of wood and the stores of dates also require one to do Bedika, because again, we're assuming there, people would bring them, go the course of the meal, the shamish with his bread would go bring it for people who are at the meal. The Gemara continues, Natana, Ein Rechayvin Lachlis Yadal Chorin Lestak and Livdok, Mnei Asakana. So the Braisa told us, the Braisa is telling us now that we don't make him go put his hand into the holes because there is danger involved. The Gemara says, what danger? My sakana, what danger is involved into putting your hand into a hole? The Gemara says, Inam Neisaka Sarka, maybe actually there's going to be scorpions there. So then the Gemara says, then wait, why my Shamash Eichem Shamash? And why were we using there in the first place? Meaning the only reason I would have put my hand in that hole is because I put my hand in the hole previously. So if we're saying don't put your hand in there because it's dangerous, then why did I put my hand in the hole beforehand at any point? Obviously I wouldn't have done that, so therefore I shouldn't have to check it. The Gemara says, no, Latricha Dinafa. We're talking about a case where the wall collapsed. There were no scorpions. You didn't assume there was anything dangerous over there. However, once the wall collapsed, we're assuming maybe scorpions got in there, and now it is dangerous for you to check there. The Gemara says, enough, alam alay bedika. But if the wall collapsed, then why do I need a bedika at all? That's not chametz, enough alam mapolas. If the chametz, which a ruin falls on it, arayz the kemavur, as Rashi said, because you're never going to have, you don't have access to it, and it's not something you can get to, therefore it's considered mavur, it's considered as if you got rid of it. One does not need to do a bedika there. Whether you have to do a bittel and be mevatel, that's a shayla. We'll get to that later in Mirch Hashem. The Gemara now says, Hasam she'ina kelev yachal l'chapei sacharav. So in this case, we're referring to a case, the chametz is so deep that the dog can't even get to it. However, halcha b'shelem yachal l'chapei sacharav, here, it's not so deep, the mapolas, the part of the wall that fell, and therefore we're afraid that the dog is going to bring it out, and he's going to bring it into open space. Rashi just mentions, what's the shear is 3 tfachim. The Gemara later on is going to tell us the shear is 3 tfachim, and therefore, if it's more than 3 tfachim, we're not afraid the dog is going to bring it out. If it is, he's going to come to the ruins and take it out, and you would have major problems. But the Gemara says, "V'hamra belazar shluchei mitzvah inan uzak." Wait a second. So wait, why we said that there's a sakana over here of the akrav of the scorpion? But why is that the case? Don't we have a concept of shluchei mitzvah inan uzak, and that someone who's doing a mitzvah, he's not going to be harmed. He's going to the schus of the doing the mitzvah. We have a promise that Hashem is going to protect him. So why should we be afraid of the scorpion over here? The Gemara says, "Amar Vashi shema toived lamacha." Now maybe he lost a needle before, and Rashi says beforehand he lost his needle, and then he's going to come and look for the chametz with the needle as well. So since he's going to come to look for the needle as chamel, he's not going to be considered involved purely in the mitzvah, and therefore it's not going to be protected because he doesn't have the right kavana. And we see over here, in light of this possibility, the Rabbanan are telling us that someone who is looking only for chametz is looking only for chametz would not be a problem of searching dangerous places, but we're afraid that he has other kavanas and he's going to come to it. The Yavish just points out here, we're therefore telling you that you shouldn't do bedikas chametz, and we're making a kula that a person doesn't do bedikas chametz, but we're afraid that the person is going to look for a needle. We see how much a person has to be chas on his mamon, not to waste anything. We see that this is a valid time that he's going to be looking for this needle. needle. That's not something we say, oh, don't do it, don't look for needles. We see how careful a person has to be with his possession, the Ayavit says. That don't be wasteful, don't waste things in general. We're afraid over here, we're going to be makel over here. For a person looking for the needle, we think that's a valid time that he's going to accidentally look for the needle in the middle of Batikas Chametz. We see how careful a person has to be with his material possessions. Gemara continues, Uchia Gavna, Lav, Mitzvah. Wait a second, we're going back over here. The fact that he also has a kavana of looking for the needle, is that a problem? Isn't that also still considered a mitzvah? Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, even if you do things without L'shem Shemayim, you have other kavanas, it's not a problem. The Braisa tells us, Omer Sela Zil Tzedakah B'Shvil Sheyichya B'ni. Someone who says that this Sela, I'm going to give to Tzedakah so my son shall live in the merit of this mitzvah, Oshia Ben Olam Haba, or I'm doing this only because I want to come a portion of the world to come, not because I want to be close to Hashem or do the mitzvah Lishma. So the Gemara says, still, Harei Zeh Tzadik Amar, the person is going to be considered completely righteous. He's going to be considered completely righteous, and we don't say that this is not Lishma, Rashi says. Rather, he's considered Mekayim the Mitzvah. Tosfos asked the question, what do you mean? We learn in the Mishnah, Al Tiyu HaKavana Mesham Shem Rav Laman Asta Kava Pras. What the Mishnah Navos tells us, you shouldn't do things for reward. So why over here is it, how are you allowed to do this? And B'chal, how are you allowed to test Hashem? That's the whole Shad Achronim deal with. But Tosfos is asking, why are you doing it only for reward? So Tosfos says, because obviously we're saying that even if he doesn't get, if the son doesn't get sick, Rachman al-Tzan, then even in that case, he's not Mitzcharet al-Tzadak. He doesn't regret what he did. So that if a person is, no matter what, going to do it, he just wants it in the zchus of this merit, that's considered a tzaddik gomer. The Gemara says, so dilma baser debada. So again, so answer the question of what we're dealing with right now is, well, really we have another kavana. We still say that a person is considered like a tzaddik gomer. So why do we have to be, why in the case of looking for the machad also, you're doing two different things, then it's not a problem. So Gemara says, dilma baser debada, that maybe after he finished looking for the bidikas, he's already finished the mitzvah completely, asalina bezra. Then you're going to come to look for the needle. At that point, you're no longer involved in the mitzvah. You don't say that you're going to be protected from danger. Now the Gemara continues, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Mishum Sakana Sanachrim. That he gives another explanation that, again, what the danger is. He says there's a different danger in completely the holes in the wall, nothing to do with the machat and the scorpion. Rather, it's just the non-Jews who live next to you. Plemohu. And this is the opinion of Plemohu. The sign of Plemohu says, Chor Shebin Yehudi La'aramai. If you have a hole between a Jew and an Armenian, literally a non-Jew, so Bodek Ad Makom Shegoyad Makas. You should search as far as your hand reaches. That's the Vashar Mavad LaBelibo. And the rest you could do Bittel with. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama. However, Plemohu Amar, Plemohu says, Kol Atzmo Eno Bodek Neasakana. He does not search the hole at all because of the danger involved. Now the Gemara wants to analyze what a plemo mean. The Gemara says, "My sakana." What exactly is the danger that plemo was talking about? If we're afraid that the non-Jew is going to think that what is the heebie-jeebie thing that this Jew is doing? What's he doing over here? So how did he ever use the hole in the first place? Maybe he's always going to assume he's doing heebie-jeebies in that hole. So why does it? Why anything? And he's going to come to accuse him and bring the government, whatever he's going to do to him, and put him in danger, the Jew in danger. So the Gemara says he's going to accuse him of doing all this weird stuff anyway in the middle of the day of putting things in that hole. So Gemara knows. So because Hasam Kishtamish Imam Menorah, he's doing in the middle of the day. It doesn't look shady. It doesn't look weird. However, the non-Jew is not going to think about it, anything about it. However, what are you doing? In the middle of the night, you're taking this light and you're sticking this candle and sticking it over there. He's going to think, what is now the Jew's after it again? What is this crazy guy's doing? He's doing his witchcraft. He's trying to curse me. He's trying to kill me. He's going to do whatever he can to protect himself, to think that you're doing bad things. And therefore, he's going to come to put yourself in danger with this non-Jew. The Gemara says, "V'hamar Rabbi Lazar shluchim mitzvah inam zikam." But Gemara says again, the same question though: why should we assume that there's a problem over here? Don't we assume that shluchim mitzvah inam zikam? Gemara says, "Hecha d'shchiyah chazeka shayni." A different answer over here. The Gemara is explaining that where it is common, it is harm is likely. Then in this case, a person the shluch mitzvah is not going to be protective. Yishinemar, as the pasuk says, "Vayomer Shmuel ich elech ushmash shol v'argeni." Vayomer Hashem eglas b'kartikach b'edecha. Shmuel asked. He was talking about anointing David. He was afraid that Shaul was going to kill him for doing such a thing. So he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how many Shaul is going to kill me? So that we see that where danger is involved, even in Shluchim Mitzvah, acting on behalf of Hashem, then he thought he was going to get punished and get killed by Shaul. So Kol Shekein, anytime a person is doing a mitzvah, so we say that whatever reason, the Shluchim Mitzvah in Ezekiel does not apply. The Gemara says, "Bad menim Rav." So then, based on this topic, the Gemara asked. They asked Rav, "Hane be Rav the Derbe Vana." So the people who live in the Beis Medrash, people who learn the Beis Medrash, who live in the villages and near the valleys, so it was dangerous for them to walk. What if they come very early in the morning? They want to come way before Alos Hashachar. They come at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Obviously, very dangerous. We know the person. Obviously, Chidi Balayla, and the person shouldn't go. Do we assume that these Mazikin are going to? Harm them, or the schus of the Torah, the schus of Shlucha Mitzvah in the Nezikin is going to apply to them. The Gemara says, "Amr Lehu." Rav said, "Naisul alai v'al tzavari." So he's like a lashon shvuah that they're going to be on me is going to be that they're not going to be harmed at all. They're going to the schus of the mitzvah is going to protect them. So we see from over here that the Shlucha Mitzvah in the Nezikin applies even on the derech. There's a shaila in the achronim, a fascinating shaila. Does a person, if a person is a shliach mitzvah, do they have to say tshuva l'derech? Do after this, it was derech. Should we say shluchim mitzvah nazik and devach chazaka that they should be fine? That's how some poskim want to rule. However, Batel Kochman says no. Maybe you could say that the kol adrachim cheskas kasana, that's already considered something as hezekah is there a lot. So therefore, you might not have shluchim mitzvah nazik so much. The chora, how would he deal with this case of rav? I'm not exactly sure. But lamaisa, it's a shayla neachrona whether a person has to say tefillas derech. Everyone should ask the rav what to do in a case where the person has to say tefillas derech in a case where he is going as a shliach mitzvah. Fascinating shayla. So now Gemara says that was all going back to the case of Rav. That was all they said going to yeshiva. What about on the way home? They're going late at home, back home. What about going back after dark? Can they go at 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, where it's dark, pitch black outside? Is that dangerous? They're going to be protected from the fact they learned all day. So Gemara says, Amar lu, that Rav said, lo yadan, I'm not sure. So itmar, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Elazar, shluchim mitzvah in hazukin, lo ba'alichalasim, lo ba'chazirasim. This statement of Rabbi Elazar is telling us that Rabbi Elazar is telling us, even on the way home, they're not going to be harmed. As the Gemara says, Kiman, who is this according like? Ki hai desanya, as the Braisa tells us, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, klape shamra Torah, which the Torah tells us, veloyach mor isis arzecha. A person is, this is talking about doing aliyah l'regel, that every person is chayv to go, and the Pasuk says, veloyach mor isis arzecha, no one's going to come to your land. And the Gemara says, melamed shetei parascha roa be'afar ve'in chaya mazika. The Pasuk is telling you that the cows will be able to graze, and no animals is going to come harm your animals. And the lashon of here is learned out from the fact that it says S. It's come to S, it's coming to Reboy, saying even the animals are not going to be harmed. Not only your property, even your animals. Also your hen is going to come and is going to pick at the garbage, and no other weasels are going to come out and harm it, and it's normally something that apparently would be common. The Gemara says, this is something clearly, generally does happen, that if you leave them unguarded, the cow and your hen, these things are going to become harmed normally, and here, yet you leave them unguarded, nothing is going to be harmed. B'nei Adam, she'in darkal lizok. A person doesn't generally just walk places and get injured, so then so too, so much more so, he should not be harmed during aliyah. Regulus proves that on the way. So the Gemara says that's only on the way. All of this is on the way. So then, how do I know on the way back that also they're not going to be harmed? The pasuk over here is actually in Devarim over here. So the pasuk is telling you that after you've gone to the back of the Karbanos, in Yerushalayim, you're not going to be harmed on your way back. The Gemara says, "Melamed shetelech v'dim tzalecha b'shalom." That teaches you, you'll go back and you're fine, that everything is secure. The Gemara says, so wait a second. V'chim achad afilu b'chazara. So if the pasuk is telling you, even on the way home, the pasuk tells you you're going to be okay, then why do I even eliminate for going there? Then kol sikah, I'll learn a kavach homer that obviously going to do a mitzvah is greater than in reward, and then obviously I'm not going to be injured. So then why on the way there does the pasuk need to even tell me why I'm going to be safe? If the pasuk just tells me on the way back, I would learn a kavach homer to teach me that the way there I should be safe. The Gemara answers because l'chad Rabbi Ami. Here we're talking about Rabbi Ami. There's Rabbi Ami says, the Amar Rabbi Ami, kol adam sheyesh lo karka ula l'regel. Every person who owns land has to go up Yerushalayim for the aliyah l'regel. V'she'en lo karka in l'regel. One who does not own land does not have to go up for aliyah l'regel, because this is by the pasuk of Artzicha. That Artzicha is teaching you that a person has to own land in order to be chayev in aliyah l'regel. So everyone should buy land in Eretz Yisrael as soon as possible, because when Mashiach Bimir Avinu is going to come, then you want to have a chiyuv into the aliyah l'regel by owning land in Eretz Yisrael. Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Avin Bar Adam Rabbi Yitzchak Nima Ein Peres Genusar Yerushalayim. For what reason there's no fruits of Genusar in Yerushalayim? We learned this Genusar. Genusar was this town in Eretz Yisrael. They actually have a yeshuv near the Kinneret, where the Kinneret is where the Gemara tells us where it was. And the Gemara tells us about, right, the bracha. What bracha do you make on it? Because they were so incredibly sweet. The Peres Genusar is a special place. There's a yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael now near Tveri, I think, or a little place, I remember exactly, that was called Genusar, based on this. The Gemara says, so either way, the Gemara says, why don't they make these fruits in Yerushalayim? Kedesh leya olei regalam olrim yomalalu alinu el echol peres genusar b'shalayim dayinu. Had it been the fact that Hashem gave us these beautiful peres, that's why I'm coming to Yerushalayim. I'm only coming for these amazing fruits, not for the claim close to Hashem. Nitzal tzilei aliyah shaloshma. Then the whole thing is not going to be l'shem the mitzvah aliyah regal, rather for these amazing fruits. The Gemara says kiyotzevu amar b'deskeben iriyanim neima in chavei tver b'shalayim. Also, why don't we have these beautiful hot springs that we have in Tveri? Those very nice hot springs that feel great to go in, like a spa. Why don't we have them in Yerushalayim? Kedesh lo yu olei regalam olrim lemal. That also these things are going to come less lishma if you put in too much gashmias, and you're not going to be doing it lishma. Because therefore, Hashem didn't make these things in Yerushalayim. All the Achronim, the Eskar of Moshe, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Steinman, they all dealt with this question. Is that wait a second? We just said before that if a person gives tzedakah, almanas that his son gets healed, and almanas that he should be get an olam haba, and after the right reasons, we said that's still called tzadik amar. Yet this whole thing over here is getting rid of the whole idea of having the peros and having the hot springs in Yerushalayim because we're afraid of lolishma. So I'll just give one answer. If Moshe says that it depends if it's simultaneous or not. When you do the mitzvah and simultaneously you're expecting something else, that's considered okay. That's what happens with tzedakah. However, here it's two different things. At first, you're going to come get the fruits, and then you're doing Aliyah L'Regel, two different times, so then it's completely Lo Lishma. Then if it's not simultaneous, it's completely, we can say that it's Lo Lishma, and we would, and then that's why Hashem didn't create it in that circumstance. Okay? Very interesting, answer from Moshe. Again, all the Achronim deal with this Shiloh. The Gemara continues to have, what instance did the Chachamim say that there's two rows? Again, this is building off the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us in the beginning, we had Orla Barasar, and we said that a place that you don't have Chametz, you don't have to do Bedika. The Gemara says, and then where do you do, and what case did they say, two rows in the wine cellar? The Gemara asks, what in the world is going on over here? The Mishnah wasn't talking about anything but a wine cellar. So why the Mishnah all of a sudden piping up and saying, oh, by the way, talking about a wine cellar now. The Gemara says, this is what the Mishnah is talking about. Anywhere which doesn't require, does not bring chametz, you don't need to do a bedika. As we mentioned, the chiddush over there, in the name of the achronim, was that you would have thought that chametz is so chomer, you'd have to check even in places you're not even sure. The Gemara says, v'otus yan, v'otus shemen, nami ain't tarech bedika. But again, kamash malan, that you don't need to check. Anywhere where you don't have, you don't think you brought any chametz, you don't bring, normally bring chametz there whatsoever, you don't need to do a bedika over there. So then, in which case the Chachamim say that two rows in the wine cellar must be searched? So the Mishnah answers them, Makom Shenisam Chametz. That's referring to a place where we are afraid the Chametz came into there. If a Mistapik, as referring to the wine cellar where a person uses it during the meal, in that case, a person would be chayav to check those areas. Mara now continues, Beishamay Omer Shteshuas. Beishamay says two rows over the entire surface. Mara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Shteshuas Shamra. These two rows that the Beishamay mentioned mean Aretz Vach Mekora. From the ground to the highest beam of the ceiling, meaning that they go all the two vertical layers going exact all the way up. The two most outer layers are going all the way up. That's what Beishamay is referring to. Yochanan says, no, Shura Aftas can mean gum. A single row in the shape of a gum, that's like a resh that we have nowadays. So that would be one row going all the way up, and then the top level of all the other rows. Tanakh Mar says, Tanakh Kavasi Rav Yudah, Tanakh Kavasi Rav Yochanan, both have support for their shitas. Tanakh Kavasi Rav Yudah, that the Bryce helps Rav Yudah, as the Bryce tells us, Beshami Armam Shteshuas, Alpnei Kol Amartif, two rows over the entire surface of the cellar. Shteshuas Shamram in Aretz Vach Mekura. This is explicit, the two rows Beshami mentioned from the ground to highest beam. This is a clear reference to what Rav Yudah is mentioning. Tanakh Kavasi Rav Yochanan, again, that we should two outer ones all the way up. The Mara continues now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it says, Shtei Shruos, Apnei Kol HaMartif, that which you mentioned was the entire surface of the wine cellar, is Chitzona Roas HaPesach, that the outermost is facing the doorway, Valyona Roas Korah, outermost is facing the seal, Shalim Nemeno, the row behind it, Shalmate Mino, and the row beneath it, Ain't Sarach Medika Dunar requires, this is clearly referring to the Reish letter, that the top letter, and then the top level, according like Rabbi Yochanan wants to mention. The Mara says, on Beis Hillel, Omer, Shtei Shruos, Apnei Shal Yonos, Beis Hillel mentioned the two arrows which are the uppermost require Bedika. The Mara says, now, Omer Rav, Alyona, Vishlamate Mino, Beis Hillel referred to the uppermost one and the one beneath it. Meaning, if you have a picture, it'll help you. And we're talking about the most outer layer and the two wines in that row. That's what Rav says. And Shmuel says, El Yonah of Shlemina, and Shmuel says it's referring to the uppermost row and the one behind it. Meaning the two on the top level, the one on the right and the one in the middle of it. The Gemara says, My time of the Rav, the Echitonus Rav, the Diok was the outer ones. So clearly referring to the outer ones, it's two levels on the outer ones. And the Gemara says, Vahai, El Yonah's Katani, wait a second. We mentioned the upper ones, which implies that the two rows implied like Shmuel, the Lashon of El Yonah's. The Gemara says, Beisil is coming to exclude the rows beneath the lower two ones, meaning the third row and below. That the third and below do not require Bedika. That's what Beisil is coming to exclude. And Shmuel is going to say, El Yonah for Shlif Imman. Shmuel is going to say the upper row one and one behind it. My time of Diak. El Yonah, Shmuel is going to say that they were Medaik on the upper ones. Wait a second. We're talking about the outer ones, which implies that the outer surface, like Ravit Medaik, the more enters. Beis Hillel is referring to the outer ones only to exclude the rows behind the innermost ones, meaning the third row and further. The third one and the row further, that's coming to the fuke that. Rav Chia, Tana Kavasa de Rav. Rav Chia learned like Rav, he passed like Rav. Vakula tonight, Tana Kavasa de Shmuel, another time, all learned like Shmuel. Vilichos de Kavasa de Shmuel, and they'll all follow Shmuel. All the Rishon, the Ozvar Hadar points out, and the Girsa chains over there, that we passed this, we don't have that Girsa of Vilichos de Kavasa de Shmuel, because all the Rishon are passing like Rav. Rav Yisrael, we're passing like Rav, so the Chor, we are passing like Rav here as well. Okay, Rav Hashem. We'll pick up with the Hemshech of Daf Tes, Pesach Hashem, tomorrow.